Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with Dr. Jeffrey Ruediger, his book, Cured. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's his name with Dr. DR in front of it, but it's all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Jeffrey, these individuals, these 100 people who miraculously got cured, were they religious or spiritual?
Not all of them. Some were spiritual, some were religious, some were not. It's quite a smattering across the board in terms of all of that.
Were they all told, there's really nothing we can do for you other than, you know, chop you up and give you conventional chemo and radiation and everything else?
Yeah. I mean, these are cases of pancreatic carcinoma, glioblastoma multiforme, which is a really awful form of brain cancer, ankylosing spondylitis, yeah, which is an autoimmune disease. That was Juniper. There was end-stage lupus, with lupus in the brain, in the kidneys, in the liver, in the heart. That was Jan. Let's see, what other? We had Dr. Patricia Kane. She was a physician diagnosed by biopsy with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, where your lungs essentially turned to cardboard, and you can't exchange oxygen any longer, and you die. So it was a wide range of cases with a wide range of people and religious commitments.
And I have to assume they did not simply just throw in the towel, did they?
No. Again, it's fascinating when the specter of death is facing you down, how people respond. I've seen people be diagnosed with a fatal disease, and some people will just curl up and die. Other people, they expect to die, but it's like the diagnosis liberates something in them, and it's been fascinating to me to see how a person will, for example, decide that, well, I don't have to be the doctor that my parents wanted me to be any longer, or I don't have to do this. It's one of the most common things that people have said to me over the years is it took an illness for them to wake up and realize they didn't need to be taking care of everyone else any longer, or they didn't need to react to the perceived expectations of others any longer. And they, for the first time in their lives sometimes, they felt free to pursue a life that helped them come alive, that helped them live authentically, that help them pursue their own well-being or that which puts a light in their eyes. And so that was an astonishing finding for me to see how, even though they expected to die, they decided to live as well as they could in the time they had left.
I mean, did they do anything else other than that? Simply say, well, I'm going to die, so I'm going to have a great time and have a super run at it. What else did they do? They had to have done something.
So the four pillars of healing and well-being. Number one, many people made significant changes in their nutrition. Not everybody did, but lots of people did. And by that, I mean they eliminated processed foods, sugars, and refined flours. They ate a more plant-based diet. What's fascinating is I don't think we really understand, for example, how toxic sugar can really be to our system.
In big quantities, it sure can be.
Yeah, I mean, 100 years ago, we, on average, ate 4 pounds of sugar a year. Now, on average, we tend to eat more like 154 pounds of sugar a year. And it's in everything. And these little sugar spicules, these little sharp-edged cubes, they course through our bloodstream. They cause microcuts in the endothelium as they go. The endothelium is a very important protective barrier in our body, but it's only one cell layer thick. And if you are constantly cutting up the endothelium of your cardiovascular system, you're causing a repair response, so you're consuming resources in your amazing immune system and needing to repair constantly, and those that constant effort to repair leaves scar tissue that then is the first step towards atherosclerosis, for example. And so
hardening of the arteries, right?
Exactly, hardening of the arteries. Your arteries over time with all that scar tissue become more fibrotic, more stiff, and less flexible. And that's the step. It's the creation of inflammation.
Did they supplement themselves with the vitamins and
some
minerals?
Some did and some did not.
Okay.
And so absolutely some people took supplements. Not everybody did. But there definitely was a trend among a lot of people to become more plant-based. Not everybody did. I especially told the story in Cured, for example, of people who went with more of a ketosis diet, which was heavy on protein and meat, but there
it's like the Atkins diet.
Yeah, like the Atkins diet. But what was really similar across all the different dietary approaches was there tended to be an elimination of processed foods, sugars, and refined flours. And that was really a very common underlying commonality, even though the outer differences were very different about vegetarian versus meat eating and that sort of thing. It was really processed foods and sugars and refined flours was a big piece of what was eliminated.
How long, what was the time span, doctor, that we're talking about where they literally went from almost dying to being cured?
That varied across individuals. Some people got better very quickly through amazing experiences. But what I concluded was that whether it takes 10 days or 10 years, the process appears to be very similar. So nutrition was one of the pillars. Number two, people often healed their immune systems. And what's exciting is that as I was doing all of this research, there's been a lot changing in the last 17 years in medicine. And even though it hasn't impacted clinical medicine yet, we now know on the basis of research that people don't have a diabetes problem, they don't have a cancer problem, a blood pressure problem, a heart problem, or an autoimmune problem. They have an inflammation problem. And so, as doctors, we're all trained in body parts. If you're a gastroenterologist, you train to study the gastrointestinal tract. If you're a cardiologist, you study the heart. If you're a psychiatrist, you study the mind. All of us specialize in body parts, but that's really prevented us from standing back and seeing the forest for the trees and realizing that it's not the body part that's getting diseased. It's the chronic inflammation that builds up in the body through our lifestyle.
That's right.
And then the weakest link in your body is the one that first becomes ill. And that's a really different way of thinking. And it's very exciting to me that we're finally starting to wake up and realize, oh, it's not the particular body part that's the problem. It's the inflammation that builds up in the system and then precipitates an event, whether it's a very stressful event in your life that causes a heart problem, that's when it then becomes manifest.
Now, for these 100 people who miraculously were saved, there were hundreds others who died of cancers and other diseases.
Yes.
What went wrong with them?
So, if I'm understanding your question, I think, are you asking, what about those who made the same changes and still didn't get better?
And they didn't save themselves.
That's correct. I think this is such a new science. I mean, there's nothing spontaneous about spontaneous remission is one of the conclusions I made by the end of this. We call these healings spontaneous. Spontaneous means without cause. That's a very unscientific assumption to just believe that somebody got better spontaneously without a cause. It turns out there is a cause. We just assumed there was not. And so one of my real efforts here is to bring science and doctors into a place of curiosity to look at these cases more closely. I just did an event earlier tonight with Jill Bolt Taylor, who she was a neuroscientist at McLean, where I work, and back in the 90s, at age 37, she had a stroke that took out most of her left brain.
Oh, my God.
She then had a full recovery over a period of 8 years, and then she had a TED Talk that went viral. It was the first TED Talk that went viral. It's been seen millions and millions of times around the world. She was named by Time Magazine as one of the most important people of 2008, I believe. She has had Oprah, who has been doing a movie on her life. She's a really prominent, lovely lady and this is a neuroscientist who had a stroke. So she knew what was happening to her
as it was happening.
And so she documented this in a book called A Stroke of Insight. The book has been a bestseller for years. It translated into something like 28 or 30 languages. And she said, when we first talked the first time, she said, I've been waiting for you for 22 years. She said, in 22 years, not a single doctor has ever asked me how I got better from my stroke. And this is in spite of who she is, with her world-class fame and prominence. And so that's what I hear over and over again, is that patients will say that their doctors at best will say, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's working. But they have not played a role in helping people understand what's possible for them, and they just are not trained to think it's possible for people to get
right.
Better.
They don't know. This is foreign for them.
Exactly. It's a whole different way of thinking, because as doctors, we're trained to make diagnoses and prescribe medications, but by and large, we don't study how people heal, which is an astonishing statement. But I think we're at the end of an era where the era has been about disease and medications, and now things are starting to change, and we are finally just now beginning to ask questions about how do people heal, and what does it mean to study how people heal? And the people I study are kind of the ultimate achievers of health and well-being, and so it just makes sense that we study not only healing, but especially study the ones who really beat the odds.
Did these 100 people, Jeffrey, do it all on their own, or did they have a support group of people who prayed for them and things like that?
Many people had a support group. In fact, these people, by and large, took responsibility for their health and well-being. They didn't just do what the doctor said. They decided, I mean, many of these people believed they were going to die, but they also wanted to give it their best shot. So they would assemble their own team. They would ask for second opinions. They would do research to try to figure out what was the right path for them, what were the right decisions for them. They sometimes would kind of hire their own team, you know, hire a coach or who they felt might be helpful to them.
That's miraculous, isn't it?
It really is.
When you started studying these 100 cases, I mean, were you shocked?
Oh, absolutely, I was shocked. I mean, it's changed my life completely. I was a typical physician. I knew very little about nutrition. I look back now and realize I was given a lot of misinformation in med school about nutrition.
Yep.
We were told, actually, that nutrition is not a problem in the United States or in westernized countries, that we have a problem of overnutrition, that we eat too much and that's overnutrition. Well, it turns out that there's a massive problem of malnutrition. We just don't, we are not taught what real nutrition is. We assume that processed foods and sugars are just part of the Western diet, and that's part of it. But you know what's fascinating? That when we diagnose cancer, say for with a PET scan or something, we inject radio-labeled glucose, which is sugar, into the person's body and then see if there's any place in the body that sucks it up avidly, because sugar is cancer's favorite food. And if there's a place in your body that is just sucking up the sugar, there's a good chance that's cancer.
That's interesting. Well,
and so, like Pablo in London, he knew that when he was diagnosed with brain cancer with glioblastoma multiforme. So he said, well, why don't I just try to starve this cancer to death? And so he eliminated sugar radically. And now, years later, he's fine. And, of course, doctors never would have expected that that was a possibility.
Do they ever relapse, these people?
Some do, absolutely. It's a fascinating study because there are absolutely people who would like to believe they got better, but the evidence, the medical evidence, does not support that. They desperately want to be better. There are others who, there's Jan, I tell the story in the book. She had end-stage lupus. Doctors told her that if she went to a healing center in Brazil, she would die on the way there, most likely, because it was in her brain at that point. It was in her kidneys. It was in her heart. She was failing rapidly. She went to Brazil anyway. A doctor actually went with her, who he was so concerned. And she did get better. She came off of medications that she had been on for decades. She came off, I think, off of something like 20 medications over a period of time, including the prednisone, which she had been on for decades. And she became a different person. Right? So when I met her and then she showed me the photos of who she'd been, they didn't look like the same woman. And if those two people had been standing next to each other, who she was and who she was now, I would not have been able to recognize them. And she said when she returns home to Idaho, she would walk down the street and see people that she had known her entire life, and they would not recognize her. Got dramatically better. She went back to Idaho to a marriage that was toxic for her and a work environment that was not good for her. She became ill again. She relapsed, went back to Brazil, got better, and realized, oh, there's something about my marriage and
her job, everything.
All of that. And so she dramatically changed her life. And now, decades later, she's happy and healthy and an amazing lady. Just her smile and the light in her eyes is just really amazing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle.
So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.